Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's not! Touchdown! Oh my God!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's caught for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Friday, December 14th. Let's cock-a-doodle-do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasía, the King, Scott Engel. Scotty, how you feeling? Very interesting game last night.
Yeah, if you had any guys named Williams last night, you feel pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. If you had Damian Williams, if you had Mike Williams, even if you had Tyrell Williams, he returned some value for you as well. Scotty, I think it was a big-time game and a very important one in the AFC at that. The Los Angeles Chargers come back from 14 down at Kansas City without Melvin Gordon, without Keenan Allen for the most part, and they get a win against the Chiefs 29-28. They decide to go for two with 4 seconds left after their touchdown to Mike Williams. They throw another ball to Mike Williams. After the game, Phillip Rivers said it was the exact same play call as what got them their first touchdown. Oh, by the way, that was to Mike Williams as well. Oh, by the way, Mike Williams also runs for a touchdown. He finishes with, you know, the 19-yard touchdown run, but also 7 catches for 76 yards and 2 touchdowns. Scotty, this is, you know, we talk all the time about how the rookie wide receivers, you know, don't usually do so well. But we also then say the other side of that is the second-year wide receivers a lot of times are in for breakouts. You know, we talked about guys like Kenny Golladay all season long. Mike Williams, the former 7th overall pick out of Clemson, you know, with Keenan Allen kind of what looks like could be a hip injury, and you know, he is in and out. He's had a hit record of injury history. Could Mike Williams next year really be like the kind of lead wide receiver dog for the Chargers? He has all the skill set you need.
It's Inside Injuries tweeted out this morning that, you know, Keenan Allen could miss like 2 to 3 weeks with this injury. So they might need him to step up. You know, look, the Chiefs didn't prepare for that. But look, Mike Williams, this is essentially his rookie season. He only had 11 catches last year as he dealt with injuries. And as we've seen with like young wide receivers, they can tend to be very inconsistent. But last night, Phillip Rivers had to rely on him, and the kid stepped up in a big way. So there's something to be said for that, especially if you're playing in Week 16 in your fantasy Super Bowl. You got to consider him as your wide receiver 3. We've seen some flashes, you know, earlier this year, but he's been very, very unreliable and not startable for a long period. So, you know, there is a some reason for still for skepticism. I think, you know, this definitely, you know, boosts his outlook for next season. But look, if Keenan Allen's out again, there's a very good chance that Phillip Rivers is going to have to trust him as his top wide, one of his top wide receivers again. So I think you'll have to roll him out as a wide receiver 3 in week 16.
The other thing that I think is a bonus for Mike Williams. You know, he just has the size, right? He's one of those outside big wide receivers, and Phillip Rivers is looking for him in the end zone. The Chargers are scheming plays for Mike Williams in the red zone. You saw that on a number of occasions last night, and that's what you want for your fantasy team, okay? You want a guy that they are going to go to in the red zone and get those touchdowns. Mike Williams on the verge, I believe, kind of a breakout. I really believe that next year, Mike Williams will be a very hot name in drafts. You know, he had some buzz. People were on him to a certain extent this year, but I think the combination of, you know, Rivers targeting him explicitly in the red zone, just the size that he offers, and quite frankly, the unreliability of Keenan Allen throughout his entire career means something that the arrow is definitely pointing up for Mike Williams. Hey, Scotty, you know, I mentioned, I think yesterday, I don't know if it was to you or to Blewett, I was intrigued that four of the six current playoff teams in the AFC are literally starting their third string running back or worse in week 15. You know, both of these teams, Jalen Samuels in Pittsburgh, you know, Gus Edwards in Baltimore, both of these third string running backs, Justin Jackson and Damian Williams, listen, they impressed with their opportunity last night.
They certainly did. Damian Williams looked really good, scoring twice, picking up a good amount of yards from scrimmage, was really like key on those first half drives. What he was able to do with screen passes when the Chargers got very aggressive. You know,
we had 30 PPR points.
Yeah, we've seen this in flashes last year, previous years with the Dolphins, that he has speed. He's not afraid to be physical at the point of attack. So he was a nice plug and play last night. And if you started him, you know, it's only one player in one game. But, you know, you're certainly more than satisfied with the return, because people are questioning all over social media whether to start him last night or not. They just didn't know what to expect from a guy who was – he was a career backup. But, right. You know, this – and I might write about this today on rotoexperts.com. Even though he had a disappointing day last night, you know, with the state of running back, like after about like six guys are off the board, you can't really trust anybody. Should Pat Mahomes be a first round pick next year because he's just so far ahead of what everybody else has done at quarterback this year? And you want reassurance and safety in fantasy football, and it's very, very hard to get. When you take Pat, we all talk about how deep quarterback is, but Pat Mahomes is so widely outscored anybody else, even with his second worst game of the season last night, that you get reassurance with your first round pick, you know, that this guy's pretty much going to be a top guy. And then when you look at what you talked about all these other running backs, dropping left and right for whatever reasons, quarterbacks just don't get injured as much.
Yeah, I hear you. it does make sense. Big shout out to both of these third string running backs. Scotty, I have shares of Patty Mahomes, and to be honest, like, you know, I'm not upset. You know what I mean? Because Patty Mahomes has gotten me where I am.
Yeah.
But, he did underperform last night. Only 243 yards, only two touchdowns. I expected more. To be quite honest, what I was hoping for was that, you know, that third and goal, that quarterback sneak, if he got just a little bit, one more yard there, that rushing touchdown.
I was hoping they were going to review it, yeah.
Yeah, that rushing. And I wanted to see the overhead camera angle on that one, you know, because for me, and also I'm in a league where passing touchdowns are 4 points, but the rushing touchdown would have been six, you know, so that would have been really nice. You know, at the end of the first quarter, my man already had like 11 or 12 points for me, you know, and he, in my settings, he wound up with only 16 because I get points taken away for the sacks that he had. In my settings, this was his third worst game. week five against Jacksonville was less, and in my settings, at least week 10 against Arizona was also less. But listen, I hear what you're saying. I personally am going to wait on quarterback like I always do, but he is certainly making an argument. I think he's now up to what, Scotty? Is he now up to 43 touchdowns on the season with three games left to go?
Yeah, 353 fantasy points.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely
before less. He's still way ahead of Ben Roethlisberger at number two. Like, look, you can wait on quarterback. It makes sense. But it's certainly an interesting debate.
Yeah,
because
it is.
When you say the top, when you get to that end of the first round, you know, you're still going to start to deal with uncertainty here. And here's a guy that, look, I can't say that he won't regress at all, but how much will he really regress? You know, when you look at the talent of the kid and everything, and defenses for the most part, you know, have been able to cope with him. You know, he's a very safe pick, and I have Pat Mahomes on three of my 10 fantasy teams. Right, yep. All of those teams went 10-3 and made the playoffs.
Yep.
To the quarterfinals. All of them got byes.
Yep,
Pat
I hear
Mahomes
you. I mean,
is a safe pick at a very high level next year. So, if you're say number 11 or number 12, what if you started Mahomes Kelsey? But you don't want to start quarterback tight end really.
Here's the thing,
in a lot of leagues, because then you hamstring your other positions.
Here's the thing, and I have shares of Patty Mahomes too. And you know, for example, in my long dynasty league, I went 12-1. I have a bye with Patty Mahomes, and I think most teams who have Patty Mahomes did perform well. However, Scott, part of that, you know, the great record of teams that have Patty Mahomes, part of that for this year is the fact that people got Pat Mahomes at a value. People got Pat Mahomes in the whatever it was, 10th round or something like that, right? And that's what, you know, that's part of what allows you to be so good this year. It's similar to people who had like James Conner because of the value this year. You know, it may not be the same with using that first round capital or that second round capital on him next year, right? You know, but I do understand this. The same as like in the real NFL, how you kind of have to leverage your team on the rookie contract because you have the quarterback at value. If people are spending the first and second round pick on him, it may not be the same. We'll have to wait and see, right? The other thing I'll say about that.
Your first round pick is, go ahead. Go ahead.
Other thing I'll say about that is, to your point, you said you don't want to go ahead and in the first, like, say, 4 or 5 rounds, get the quarterback and the tight end, right? And so in my personal opinion, the way I'm going to go next year is I am going to spend, you know, one of my first 4 picks, if I can, to get Travis Kelce or Zach Ertz. And so then I'm, you know, it's yet another reason why I'm not going to spend the first round or the early round capital on a quarterback, even if his name is Patrick Mahomes.
To your point about value, though, it's you know, when you're getting your first pick, or maybe even your second, you're talking about the two cornerstones of your team. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes turned out to be a cornerstone in, like, the 10th round or in one league where I actually got him off of waivers.
Right.
But still, you're talking about, you know, not where you got him necessarily. When you look at next year, you want to talk about a cornerstone of your team and somebody who's very safe at a high level. And he fits both of those parameters.
Yeah, like, but going into this year, wouldn't you have thought the same thing about, like, Tom Brady? Like, that he was very safe and stuff, and we didn't want people drafting him in the second round?
The one thing with Tom Brady, though, is that you always had that in the back of your mind with how old he is, that he could start to decline at any time. And I don't think you have that with Mahomes. You know, the arrow's only pointing up on Mahomes.
All right, fair enough. Keep it moving. One other thing I want to talk about in this game, and it may not be what people think. You know, the game was 29-28, so on first glance, you may not think this. But honestly, Scott, I think this Los Angeles Chargers defense needs to get some kudos. They really kind of, you know, stifled the Kansas City Chiefs, in my opinion. Scotty, this high-flying offense, you know, totaled less than 300 yards. And, you know, nothing, but Patty Mahomes is 243 yards that he did, in fact, put up last night. You know, that I'm looking, I think that he had 249 against Arizona. But 243 last night is his lowest total of the season. So, yeah, you know, Kansas City still put up 28. But I really still think this was an impressive showing from the Chargers defense. I saw Derwin James tackle Kelce in the open field. I saw Bosa and Ingram getting pressure on Mahomes. I think this Chargers defense is also rounding into form and, you know, limiting the Chiefs to under 300 total yards, I think is a big-time accomplishment.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, the defense really tightened up after the first two drives when, you know, the Chiefs just marched down the field real easily. After that, they really tightened things up.
Yep, and so now, listen, Scotty, and part of me, you know, I acknowledge, part of me says this because, as you know, and anybody who's listening to Roto Experts in the Morning all season long knows that they were my Super Bowl pick, the Chargers. I've been saying all season long that I think the Chargers are one of the best teams in the NFL. I've said I think they're one of the most complete teams in the NFL. But, Scotty, honestly, this is a team who just came back from 14 down on the road at Kansas City without their number one running back, Melvin Gordon, and without their number one wide receiver, Keenan Allen. Like, honestly, Scott, Like, this is a statement, very impressive win for the Chargers. This may be one of the most impressive wins in the NFL all season long.
This is the most impressive win in the NFL this season, without a doubt. And you're talking about a team that, you know, that could constantly coming back all year long from 14 points down.
Yeah.
And they just did it at Pittsburgh. They did it at Pittsburgh and Kansas City.
Like,
you know, they've beaten some really good teams this year. You know, the Chargers actually lost the first time
to
KC, and then they came back on the road and they won. And you have to look at some of the teams that they beat this year. You know, Week 9, they went on the road and they decisively beat the Seahawks. This has been some impressive wins. You know, and they got the Ravens and the Broncos coming up next. Like the Ravens, you know, that should be a very good game. So I think Philip Rivers like really amped himself up, you know, for the MVP award. You know, with these wins over the Steelers and the wins
at Pittsburgh, at Seattle, at Kansas City. Like that's a resume right there.
It's all trending in the right direction here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Philip Rivers has to take that next step, though. I'm not going to stop saying it though until he actually does it.
Yes.
You know, this team hasn't made the playoffs since 2013. He's got a 4-5 playoff record with 11 touchdowns and 9 interceptions and an 85 quarterback rating. You know, if Philip Rivers has to make the statement and get past the AFC Championship game this year.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. He's won, like you said, they've won out Seattle, at Pittsburgh, at Kansas City. I don't care where they are, Scott. They could be at New England for all I care. They could be down 10, it looks like, and it does not matter. The Chargers are a very live team in the AFC. And here's the other thing, Scott, to overlay.
You've been backing him since the summer.
You're right. And here's the other team to overlay kind of how impressive this really was. Like, not for nothing, Scott, but Rivers threw a dumb pick on the first play of the game. Not for nothing, Scott, but Rivers threw a dumb pick at the end of the first half where they should have got another field goal. You know what I mean?
So I thought that was going to be a killer.
There's still mistakes to clean up for this team, and yet still without Melvin Gordon, still without Keenan Allen, this team just won at Kansas City, people.
They should have both guys back for the playoffs.
Right. And so here's the last thing.
Keenan Allen.
But
Keenan Allen could miss 2 to 3 weeks, but if they get a bye or something like that, you know, which they could still get. You know, then maybe it'll happen for the first game because, you know, the Chiefs are no longer locked up to the division. But here's the big thing. Here is the big fantasy thing. The Chargers did owners of Pat Mahomes and every other Chief a big favor last night because if the Chiefs
won play.
And the New England would have lost,
yep.
they wouldn't have had to start their guys in Week 16 at Seattle. Now they have to. So the Chargers did fantasy players a big favor last night.
They just got to get there to the Fantasy Championship, Scott. When we come back on Roto Experts in the Morning, we'll talk to our guy, Dr. Ray, from Inside Injuries. A lot of players with kind of questionable tags. We'll talk about them and help you make your decisions as you go into the semifinals of your playoffs. We're coming off a huge Chargers win. It's Roto Experts in the Morning, Dane and Scott, on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only place to go for 24/7 fantasy sports advice. Once you download the FNTSY Sports Radio app, you'll get the most accurate experts and most entertaining programming in the fantasy sports world. Listen to great shows like Fantasy Football Frenzy.
There you go right there, Goon Squad.
Game Time Decisions.
Good teams win, great teams cover.
Fantasy Freestyle.
You know what it is.
And plenty more.
Boom!
Download the FNTSY Sports Radio app on your iPhone and Android devices now and take the best fantasy sports talk wherever life leads you.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. and they were able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
Fantasy Football Frenzy.
Tyreek Hill's probably 80% of what he usually is.
But you're going to play him.
Look what he did last week.
Exactly.
He was limping around. He caught a key 48-yard bomb that really set up that win for them.
And he was hurting that game.
The important thing is he's still going to be able to run and cut. That's very important.
He runs fast, too.
He runs very fast. He might be the fastest.
Tyreek Hill!
Engel
hit the touchdown sounder!
Tech Mobile.
Weekdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Welcome back. Roto experts in Des Moines, and spitting statistician and the king, reacting to an important Thursday night football game in the AFC. The Los Angeles Chargers made a statement last night against the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. Scott, before we go to Dr. A, you know, you talked about the fantasy impact, you know, and kind of how the Chiefs are, you know, now in essence locked into really still playing for something for the rest of the season, so their fantasy players will be out there helping owners. The one last point, the one last point that I want to make here, okay, and it'll be a nice little transition into our time with Dr. A, is, you know, people are interested in Justin Jackson, the shiny new toy. Don't forget, though, you know, now with 10 days off until the Chargers' next game, you know, the running back room may be very different. Melvin Gordon may be back. Austin Eckler may be back. You know, so the value of Justin Jackson may vanish, right, Scotty?
Yeah, well, inside injuries was, you know, that target date all along for Melvin Gordon was week 16.
Yeah, and so now, you know, you got an extra 10 days as well, and there were some rumblings about him for this game. So I just say to me, like, don't all of a sudden think Justin Jackson is going to be your starting running back again, or Damian Williams for that matter, because, you know, their running back situations will be a little bit different. But I digress, Scotty. We bring on in our guy, Dr. A, from Inside Injuries to talk about some of these other guys that, listen, you know, this is the critical week, the semifinals, to get you to your championship. And, you know, we've got a lot of players here who have been, you know, key to your teams. There are some big names out there that are key to your teams, and you want to make sure they're going to be at, as Inside Injury says, peak performance. So we bring in Dr. A. How you doing today, Doc?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys doing?
All right. I mean, listen, I have some of these guys on my teams, you know, Doc, so I'm not doing the best. You know, I'm one of those teams who was like one seed in a lot of leagues or getting a bye, and I'm now banged up and look to get kind of upset late in the season, rendering my incredible regular seasons moot. And one of the guys that I have on a lot of teams, you know, Scotty knows a team that I have that has a bye, a big home league team that has a bye, is James Conner, who's dealing with this high ankle sprain. And now they're saying, like, he might be able to play even if he doesn't practice. Talk to me about James Conner, the high ankle sprain, and is this like a pain management issue where they could shoot him up and run him out there? Or is this like a, you know, a damage to the integrity of his ankle kind of issue? What's up with James Conner?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing between a high and low ankle sprain. The low ankle sprain, you know, grade two, which is what the grade is, it's a little bit easier from a pain management standpoint. A high ankle sprain is very, very troublesome from a pain management standpoint because the area that is affected is a lot bigger, and it's a lot harder to treat from a pain management standpoint. And the biggest thing is that, and this is why we, for a grade two high ankle sprain, we have a optimal recovery time of 4 weeks. And so that's why week 17, we've always been saying for James Conner, week 17, because you can't bring, you can't really test a high ankle sprain too much early. If it does, if the player comes back too early, you have a very high recurrence rate historically of them re-injuring or just not being effective because of that difficulty to pain manage. So right now he's 39%, and if they throw him out there this weekend, you know, he'll be at half. He'll be at half his ability, basically.
T.Y. Hilton last week, you were very worried about him, Doc, and I think he was listening to the show because he went off for 199 yards. You know, the shoulder, he played through it, but now he's got an ankle problem, and he hasn't practiced the last 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, T.Y. Hilton's a conundrum for us. I mean, the guy has, you know, he's one of those sort of difficult to track players. He has a ton of injuries, you know, not just this season, last season, et cetera. The thing about T.Y. Hilton is that, you know, the durability toward the very, very far end of the season, and, you know, he'll go off on a game, you know, 100, you know, like that 199-yard game. But the biggest thing is that with now the ankle injury and the shoulder injury, it just starts to compound. But, you know, week 16 is when we see him coming back from this injury. So, he's not developing grade two, grade three injuries. He's sort of developing these grade one injuries. So that's really good news for him. So even though right now he's at 44%, in about a week, you know, he'll be, you know, probably at, 70-75%. But, you know, again, at any moment, T.Y. Hilton is going to have, you know, a really big risk of some larger grade two, grade three type of injury. And as the, you know, sort of the end of the season, that's what we've seen the previous years, is that he just loses steam basically because of all of these injuries building up. 33% injury risk.
So you're saying this ankle injury is not a major one, but at the same time, you know, does it also prove that some guys have a higher pain threshold than others and can play through it?
Yeah, and they just happen to get. Get injured in position body parts that are easy to pain manage, like an ankle injury. Grade one ankle injury is very easy to pain manage. You know, like we just talked about, if it was a high ankle injury, then it'd be very difficult.
Hey, Dr. A, that's nice about T.Y. Hilton and all, but check this out. He's not on any of my teams, and I'm not facing T.Y. Hilton in any of my semifinals. So let's get back to people that matter to my team.
I have T.Y. Hilton.
Okay?
It's not all about you.
Well, listen. I'm trying to win my league and win that cash. Dr. A, I am facing Odell Beckham in a big-time league that I am in this week. My opponent has him in his starting lineup. The Giants had him as a kind of – somewhat surprised scratch that was announced last Saturday. Is he going to be back out there for the Giants this Sunday against Tennessee? I think he's dealing with a quad, if I'm correct.
Yeah, that's quite concerning. It's not just that he's dealing with a quad, but he's going for a second opinion. When you hear that, when you hear a player going for a second opinion, it's basically they don't like what
they're hearing.
What they're hearing from the team doctors, which means the team doctors are saying, no, it's fine, just go right out there, you're going to be fine. And the people in the players' camp are saying, whoa, let's get a second opinion, I don't like this, et cetera. So
this could be more serious than the team is communicating, and the player and his like agent and his entourage are like, you know what, this may be the team just trying to look out for themselves over you. You need to get something independent that's going to be worrying about you and your kind of long-term health and if that's at risk by continuing to play on this squad.
Right, and that's where you start to see historically the beginnings of some disagreements, et cetera, and where the team is different. And that's why we have listed him right now as a grade one. You know, I'm not sure, you know, it was teetering on very close to a grade two, but right now optimal recovery time for a wide receiver with a grade one quad is 3 weeks. So week 16 is when we always slated him to come back. And so right now he's at 43%. I think it's wise for him to get a second opinion and get the additional rest. So I don't expect him to play this week.
And the Giants aren't really playing for anything
either. Yeah.
That's the thing. The Giants aren't playing for anything. Let me ask you real quick. I'm sorry, Scott. Hey, Dr. Ray, when you say the player goes for the second opinion, right? It's the team that though reports the injuries, right? It's the team that lists him on the injury report. So in this scenario, what happens if he gets the second opinion and they tell Odell, you know, that, you know, let's say it's a grade two or something different, right? The team can still report out what it is based on their findings. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think it's up to the player. I think they just decide what they want to report. But you know, sometimes the team will report what they believe it is. And that's
so there could be inconsistencies there.
Exactly. That's why I want you to, everyone, our algorithm keys in on the second opinion part and then sort of, you know, negates and sort of creates that weighted emphasis on, hey, this is probably a little bit more than a grade one.
Doc, I don't know if Dane has him on his fantasy teams or not, but I'm still going to ask about Matt Breida. He's
That's okay. You can ask about him. Yeah.
Fashion. I'll ask about anybody I want.
I'm facing Jeff Wilson, so it's important to me. Yes.
All right. You're listening to the Dane Martinez Fantasy Hour. We just Dr. A comes on simply to talk about his team and nobody else's. But, you know, it, Matt Breida has been able to practice in limited fashion for 2 days in a row.
Yeah. You know, the biggest thing, like we've always been talking about him, is this re-aggravation in week 13 has really, really set him back, unfortunately. And this is what we're always worried about, is when players come back too early. So he re-aggravated it. And so, you know, it's a grade 2 ankle sprain. Now, grade 1 ankle sprains are good to pain manage. Grade 2 ankle sprains, they're more severe and they're harder to manage from a pain management standpoint. And that's why 4 weeks from week 13 is really week 17. And that's when we've always slated him to come back from his optimal recovery time. I would continue to say that he should not play. He basically should not play.
And the 49ers are not playing for anything either.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to preserve one of your guys, you know, for next season, and you want to really let him recover, he should not play. He should not play this. I mean, if he does, he's going to be right now at 46%.
Talk to me about another player that is, in fact, important in some of my matchups. Detroit Lions running back Kerryon Johnson has missed a few weeks. You know, talk to me. Give me an update on him. Should I expect to see him this week or next?
Yeah, so this is a little bit of good news. I mean, this injury occurred in week 11, and a grade 2 knee is what it was listed at. And so we projected him to come back week 15. The MRI, there was a sprain, but there was certainly, you know, most of the time when it's the knee, it's the MCL, so or the ACL, and the good thing it wasn't torn, and so he rested. He's recovered, and he followed exactly our protocol, and now he's back at 82% peak health and low injury risk, right at 12%. So, you know, this is the game that he's, you know, going to come back at. You know, so far the metrics look good for him to come back on week 15.
All right, we haven't seen any reports though, unfortunately, that he is going to come back. So, we'll have to wait and see later today. Cam Newton, he's dinking and dunking right now. He's taking what the defense gives him. How healthy is Cam Newton? Maybe healthier than me.
So, you know, this throwing shoulder injury, grade 1, you know, mobile quarterbacks have always talked about, you know, these they really, really impact him. Obviously, it's not just about the injury. It's about the defense that they come across, like you said. So, this is a 2-week recovery time. You know, we expect him to come back, this week. Looks like, you know, whatever indications or data that we've gotten from the Panther camp shows his HPF back at 81% peak health. So even though he's at elevated injury risk, it does show that he has recovered from this injury and he should play and he should hopefully not have this shoulder injury be the reason why he's not playing well. He should be recovered from the shoulder injury in this week.
Hey, Dr. A, last one from me. Big Ben, they're going to shoot him up. He's going to be fine with that rib injury. I even saw reports that the reason he stood out for some of the third quarter last week is that the pain medication, like, takes time to kick in. And then when, you know, it did its work, he was ready to be back out there. They're just going to shoot him up. He's going to be all right.
Yeah, I mean, the rib injury for quarterbacks, the only fear is that when they get hit, they get, you know, they really try to protect that area. It's not like a running back with a rib injury where, man, they're getting hit all the time, you know. And so, they should be successfully pain managed, and he should be ready to go. The thing about Ben Roethlisberger with us all the time is that toward the end of the season, as he gets older, it's the durability. And so, you know, the injury risk is high. However, he will be back up to above average and ready to go from this rib injury.
All right. Dane, you had something specific.
Yeah.
With
you don't have anybody else to ask him about?
No, you don't have anybody else to ask about. He pretty
right,
much
cool.
covered it well
yeah.
as he always does. Well, actually
no,
one
sure.
more real quick. Elijah McGuire was taken off the injury report for the Jets.
Yeah, grade one ankle injury. You know, I believe he was limited on Wednesday. And so, you know, the first half of the season was a wash, foot fracture. He's, you know, we predicted before the season started he was at 22% injury risk. He's at 24%. We think it's, they haven't reported this, but we think it's the same ankle and the foot, the same side. And if that's the case, that really slumped his HPF back to 45%. And so he'll only be at, if he plays this weekend, he'll only be right around 50%.
All right, thanks. We got Dr. A here representing Inside Injuries. And Doc, you know, we ask you about these players, but I also want to ask you about, like, just something that was weird last week that we saw. I mentioned it earlier this week on the show. Cowboys offensive lineman Tyron Smith, you know, has an elbow issue. But they made the point in the Cowboys game on the telecast last week that they didn't have an elbow brace big enough for him, so they put a knee brace on his elbow. And everybody was, like, going to see it. The other linemen were checking it out. And, Doc, I got to ask you kind of a two-part question. One, is that sound medical practice? Like, biologically, is it okay to fit something that's meant for the knee on the elbow? I understand it's the same kind of, like, mid-limb hinge, as it were, but I want to know if that's sound medical practice. And two, these guys are highly trained and very expensive professional athletes. They pay for, like, urine analysis and sleep chamber treatment and, you know, custom fit orthopedics and, you know, everything under the sun for these guys in terms of health and nutrition and massage and everything. How can they not have something custom fit for the man for his elbow?
Yeah, I mean, and if to the non-medical person, it's pretty funny when you hear that. I've seen that several times in practice, and you know the biggest thing there is, yeah. Have you seen these guys? This guy's arm?
They're huge, I know, but like they can't make the triple XL for him. He's a like.
It's just probably it takes time to fit and to get. He'll have an elbow. I mean, if the injury is severe enough and it'll be persistent, he will have a custom designed large elbow brace. But for temporary purposes, the knee brace will do. And so, but the other thing you have to say is that the injury is probably not that severe. You know, you're not gonna just toss a knee brace on an elbow joint and expect a player to be fine if it's a more severe injury. So the elbow injury is probably a grade one of some sort. And, you know, these guys are tackles, right? They're offensive tackles. So it's, you know, you just throw a bunch of stuff on these guys and they'll perform, you know?
Yeah, they look like RoboCop. All of them look like RoboCop. Yeah. I understand. So does that mean I could just put a wrist? Could I put like a wristband on my ankle?
Yeah, I mean, if it fits, I don't know how big your ankles are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly not as big as Tyron Smith's.
It depends on whether it's a grade one or grade two, Dave.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
guess
he's
so.
Learned this.
Fair enough. Well, thanks for spending a couple of minutes with us, Dr. A. We'll have you back next week to, you know, wish you happy holidays and see what's going on into championship week. Thanks for spending a couple of minutes with us, Doc.
All right, guys. Good to be with you.
Absolutely. Always. There you go. Hey, Scotty, there you go. Dr. A representing Inside Injuries, doing a great job. Intrigued what he was talking about Odell Beckham, though, Scotty. The idea that he's going for a second opinion, in essence, means that, like, he doesn't like, or him and his camp don't like what the Giants team doctors are telling him. And the other overlay is the Giants have absolutely nothing to play for. Scotty, you think this could mean that Odell Beckham may actually sit this one out?
I can't speculate. I really can't. I don't know what's going to happen here.
All right. Well, we'll talk about how that potentially impacts our picks that we make. We're going to be making picks on the other
game
side of the break.
Game time decision was last that I saw. He's going to take it right up to game day.
There you go. Dane and Scott coming back. We make our picks. It's Roto Experts in the Morning on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
The sun can make your outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable you can't use it. But now there's the Sunsetter Retractable Awning. It provides protection from the sun's harmful rays and can keep your patio about 20 degrees cooler. Call 800-869-4993 now and you can get your Sunsetter for as little as $5.99 with your special $200 discount certificate. Call 800-869-4993 now for your discount certificate and you'll also get a free awning idea kit. Call 800-869-4993. That's 800-869-4993.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Fantasy freestyle.
Lamar Jackson is in fact starting. I'd start him. That rushing floor, similar to what I talk about with Josh Allen, that rushing floor is legit. I would have Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen this week. I can't believe I'm saying this, but over Aaron Rodgers. You hear me? Josh Allen greater than sign Aaron Rodgers. Lamar Jackson greater than sign Aaron Rodgers. And I think Joe Flacco had started his last game for the Baltimore Ravens. I think he's going to be a Jacksonville Jaguar next year.
Tuesday and Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Yes, sir. Roto experts in the morning. Dane and Scott. We about to make some picks for week 15. You know what it is, Scott. Come on. I need a girl with extensions in her hair, bamboo earrings, at least 2 pair, a Fendi bag and a bad attitude. That's all it takes to get me in a good mood. Scotty, all it takes to get me in a good mood is making some picks here and winning a little bit of extra cash. So far on the season, Scotty, I'm 21-18 so far on the season, Scotty. You're, you know, something less than that. We don't want to get into it, but we're going to make some picks right now. The first thing I do want to mention before that, if you want to take these picks, okay, go then and head on over to BetDSI. They have wagering options for almost any sport you could think of, including sides, totals, and player props, where you can utilize DFS skills without salary cap constraints. You can even wager on esports, politics, reality TV. You can get an edge with live betting at BetDSI, wagering virtually any time during the contest, capitalizing on in-game circumstances. There are so many ways to make money. Use the promo code FNTSY101 when signing up, and you'll get a 100% bonus deposit match. Once you've opened up your account, go to dailyroto.com, click on the contact us tab, and send us your BetDSI username. We'll give you 1 free month of Daily Roto access totally free. That's access to all the sports, all the tools, all the optimizers. Go on over and open your account at BetDSI. That's promo code FNTSY101. Get your 100% bonus deposit match and 1 free month of dailyroto.com. And by the way, Scott, dailyroto.com has the NBA lineup optimizer now available. So if your NFL kind of betting and fantasy and DFS season is over, go right on over and start winning that cash over on the NBA. If you are not using the Daily Roto tools and projections, you are doing it wrong. You are at a competitive disadvantage. All right, Scott, let's make some picks. All right, how you feeling, baby? We about to make some picks. You are coming off a 2-1 week though, Scott. So you know, keep the gravy train going, and you can still get up over 500 and break even and make a little bit of profit on the season. Scotty, my first pick of the week on Sunday. You know, I just don't think the Pittsburgh Steelers are playing good football right now, Scott. I just don't, you know, and the New England Patriots seem to always have their number in these regular season matchups, and I think they will win
the playoffs
again.
Too.
Yeah, exactly. So they have their number. Rob Gronkowski owns the Pittsburgh Steelers. I have him in my DFS lineup. I just don't think the Steelers also have the same running game that they've had all season. James Conner was able to, you know, impressively be that guy in place of Le'Veon Bell. While Jalen Samuels offers something in the passing game, he wasn't able to really tote the rock as much. I think Bill Belichick, similar to what they did against Minnesota when they tried to take away Diggs and Thielen and force someone else to beat them, I think they're going to do the same thing against Pittsburgh, try to take away AB and Juju via double teams and force someone else to beat them, and I don't think the Pittsburgh Steelers will, so give me the New England Patriots minus the 3 points in Pittsburgh as one of my first picks this week. Scotty, where are you going?
I'm going with Cleveland minus 2.5 over Denver. I think they're playing better than the Broncos right now.
Okay, and that's at Denver, correct, on Saturday night. Remember, yeah. Guys, we got two Saturday games. You got Jets, Texans tomorrow afternoon, and then the nightcap, you got Browns, Broncos. So I say that to remember, you know, you got to set your lineups accordingly. It's like when there's a London game early in the morning. Remember to get your lineups in. All right, my next pick, Scotty. I'm taking the Chicago Bears against the Packers. All right, I just think these are I think the Bears are hot. I think the Bears have a lot more to play for. Yes, mathematically, the Packers are still alive, but I don't think it's going to come to pass for them. Clearly, they need to win out and get a lot of help. It's not going to happen. I think the Packers are actually a team on the decline. You know, they're going to have a new head coach. It's Aaron Rodgers and not a whole lot else. For fantasy purposes, sure, Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams, but I think, for example, that it is not as strong of a challenge that the Bears saw last week in the Rams coming to town, and they were able to stifle the Rams. I think they can stifle the Packers and score enough points to cover this spread, and the Bears need it to contend in the NFC, competing against Dallas and some other teams for seeding. Give me the Bears -6 against Green Bay at home.
All right, give me Miami +7.5 at Minnesota. I think Minnesota wins this game, but I think Miami's coming to play. They still have a shot at a playoff berth, and they've been very competitive all year. I don't think Minnesota's 7.5 better than Miami.
Interesting. Can I ask you a different question on that game? And, you know, I don't disagree with the pick necessarily. I do think Minnesota will win this game outright. But, you know, I understand you taking the 7.5 points. Scotty, I went over to the props builder tool. And, you know, because of this DeFilippo firing, my narrative here is I believe that the change, if anything, is going to be for the Minnesota Vikings to search for more balance, you know. And that means, in my opinion, that means running the ball a little bit more. So I was able to create a prop for Dalvin Cook rushing yards for this week. Do you agree with me that what we may see is a little boost in Dalvin Cook's potential because of the OC change?
Yeah, you know, we were talking about it yesterday and earlier this week. They need to establish more offensive balance with the run to take the pressure off the quarterback. And also, you know, throw to him in the passing game. He's a very explosive as a receiver out of the backfield, and that takes some pressure off the wide receivers. Dalvin Cook's a big X factor for the Minnesota Vikings when he's healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Scotty, if I made a prop bet that I think he's going to have over 50 rushing yards this Sunday against Miami, are you cool with that?
I think you should raise the amount.
Well, that's nice of you to say when you're gambling my money.
50's easy for him to
good,
crack.
But I just want to win. I want to win the bet, Scott. You know, like, so I set it to be conservative. You know, it's easy for you to gamble my money and get more aggressive. But, you know, I just want to win the bet, Scott.
All right.
Well, so you think he'll be over 50,
I think 50's easy. I think 50's easy. It's just like, I think a more challenging prop is fun. I wasn't looking at it as you know, your money. Like, if you want to give me something that's a challenging question, I would say 70.
Okay. So you think that's more the line that you would set. But, you know, Scotty, I'm trying to win the bet. You know, this is my money. I'm trying to get a little bit of. What if I'm saying that I'm wagering
about you,
the money?
Dave. It's all about your players and your props.
No, Scott, to be quite honest, this is the money that I'm wagering to get you a Christmas present. You know, if you want to know the truth. You. And I'm trying to earn more money to get you a better present. So I just don't think you want me to risk that money.
Let's take it 50 then.
All right, cool. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. My third pick, Scotty. My third pick. You know, listen, I was going to go with this pick, and then when I heard what Dr. A had to say last segment, it's only making it more for me. I'm taking the Tennessee Titans +2.5 at the Giants this week. I think these are teams in opposite directions with very different motivations. The Tennessee Titans at 7-6 definitely have something to play for. They're tied with Baltimore, who, you know, have to still play the Chargers left. You know, the Tennessee Titans are still live. They will bring their best effort. No, I don't think Derrick Henry will run for 230 plus yards or score 4 touchdowns, but I do think they're a better team than the football Giants. And I do think the Tennessee Titans are a sneaky, decent defense. And if, you know, I think they're a decent defensive play this week. Also, Eli Manning, you know, goes into the fetal position. If there's no Odell Beckham, this is, you know, trying to focus on Saquon and nothing else. I think they can do it. I think it could be kind of a sloppy-ish game, an ugly game, if you will. But I like the Tennessee Titans +2 in New York this week.
Now, my last one was going to be Dallas and Indy going under on the 47, but right now it's like I can't ignore this. You know, and even though, you know, I'll look at this objectively first. The Seahawks are the lock of the week, you know, -3.5 at San Francisco. You know, they're just a much better team. You know, they completely blew them out 2 weeks ago. Mullins got his numbers in garbage time. Right now, you know, and Pete Carroll, you know, you look at his track record. He's made the playoffs almost every year. Pete Carroll knows how to prepare his team to win. He's not going to let them, you know, have this come up and bite them as a trap game with the Chiefs next week. You know, Pete Carroll knows that winning teams beat who they're supposed to beat. The Seahawks can clinch a playoff spot with this win at San Francisco. And, you know, this is close to a guarantee, as I think, that you're going to get this week. And it's also going to be satisfying for them as well because, you know, a lot of people in the preseason were looking at everything that they – Bobby Wagner said it, that, you know, everybody was looking at what we lost and not what we still had. And, you know, I was saying in the preseason too, I said, you know, even objectively, I said, this team still has Russell Wilson. They still have Rat Wagner. They have Frank Clark. They have other pieces. This is not the 3-4-win team that people are predicting it to be. And, you know, lo and behold, they're about to clinch a playoff spot this week. I think there's going to be a satisfying victory for them.
All right, so Scotty's riding with his Seattle Seahawks on the road at San Francisco, the Miami Dolphins on the road at Minnesota, and the Cleveland Browns on the road at Denver this week. I'm taking the Pats on the road at Pittsburgh, the Titans on the road at New York, and the Giants and the Bears at home against the Green Bay Packers. Let me tell you something, though, Scotty. You know, your Seahawks have impressed this year. I think, you know, and you know, we were doing our team-by-team previews. I didn't have the Seahawks as like a 3- or 4-win team. I did, however, think they were going to be like one of those teams that just missed the playoffs. I pegged them as more like an 8- or 9-win team, which I think is still valid, you know, and they have even outperformed that. So, yes, Russell Wilson and the kind of stalwarts of that defense have taken the Seahawks. I still maintain that my, say, like 8-8 prediction for the Seahawks going into the season was still relatively objective and honored the kind of blue-chip talent that
I wasn't. I wasn't talking about you. There are a lot of people were saying that, you know, this is a 3-4-win team.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are so high on the San Francisco 49ers.
USA Today said 4 wins for them. So,
but everybody was so –
I think that became bulletin board material.
Yep.
You know, they clinch a playoff spot this week with their 9th win. But, you know, they've beaten, like, a lot of other teams that have been in contention, so it's the quality of the victories too.
Oh, no, absolutely. You know what I mean? I completely understand what you're saying. And the thing is, you know, all offseason, remember, everybody was so into teen heartthrob Jimmy G and Jimmy G spot, right? And everyone thought the 49ers were going to be a little bit of a different team, you know, with a different makeup. You know, people like Jimmy G, Jarek McKinnon, that have gone by the wayside for this offense. But, you know, the Seattle Seahawks are right there.
It'd be interesting to see what they would have been if they didn't have all those major injuries.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hey, one other thing, Scotty, though, I want to ask you about. Because the Seahawks, I think the Seahawks do this more than anybody else. It used to be Cam Chancellor doing it. But we saw on Monday night Bobby Wagner do the block field goal with, like, the hurdle over the line. But, you know, truth be told, there should have been a penalty on that play because he used, like, his own teammates to, like, hurdle over.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw Gabe Morency. I saw Gabe Morency had a field goal prop bet on Monday night that he lost because of that penalty. That's rough for a guy, Gabe Morency.
Yeah, you know what, though? Sometimes the refs just don't always get it right. Ultimately, it wouldn't have made a difference in the final score, but, you know, that's too bad for Gabe, unfortunately. But I'm sure Gabe had 50 other prop bets that he won.
That's true. He probably did.
Yeah.
And by the way, Scotty, in a couple of minutes, we turn it over to FST Fantasy Sports Today, and it's me and my guy, Mike Blewett. And Mike Blewett joins us now for a hot second. Hey, Blewett.
What's up, my brother?
What's
hey,
up, guys?
Blewett, how you feeling? That was a very interesting game last night. And
sure
apparently,
was.
Like, third-string running backs, it's all good.
Yeah, if you had Damian Williams as the MVP of the semifinals week of the 2018
season. Let me know your Powerball numbers for this weekend.
Exactly. You've
well, we still
got to
play
head.
Sunday. Somebody could score 40.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you asked me Justin Jackson or Damian Williams last night, I would have taken Justin Jackson. He also has a, you know.
Oh, they both had good games.
A respectable game, obviously.
Had them ranked right next to each other on Runaway Experts.
Yeah.
14 and 15.
And that's reasonable. So, you know, Damian Williams has an explosion here, which is awesome. For those of you that might have played him, I would gather that a lot of people had him still on the bench, you know, in favor of even guys right. like Jalen Samuels. You know, the real bummer is
I
that.
I did. You know, I have Philip Daniels, Joe Mixon, and Nick Chubb in one league, and I had no room for Damian Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, and I can't criticize anybody. I wouldn't have played him. It's a lot to expect. You know, the real bummer is, despite the fact that he has a long injury history.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got Keenan Allen on any of your rosters?
I do, yeah. I'm in the
same. I know you do. I'm sure
you do. He had, you know, he had me riding the wave for like a month.
Yep.
And then to leave on the type of play that he left on, too, he almost makes a spectacular touchdown catch
right.
and comes down on his hip and has to leave the game.
Came back from one play, but yeah.
Yeah, the bad breaks are starting to pile up for me right now. I'm starting to wonder what the heck
I hear you.
At the beginning part of the season. But nonetheless, it's a really bad break. Clearly, if you had known before the game and had to sit him, it would have been bad news. But now to lose him to a zero is the worst case scenario.
Hey, Blewett, real quick, and, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit more next hour, but that sure. you can engage with the King, Scott Engel, on this for a hot second.
Yeah, yeah.
Next year, is Mike Williams the wideout one for the Chargers?
It's a funny thing because we see the type of talent that the guy has in a game like last night, and we have seen it on display before. What I can't quite figure out is why is he absent for 6 weeks at a time? I just don't quite understand why that's been the case. He's got a tremendous amount of talent. He's also an injury-prone type of player, but for Mike Williams to display a 3-touchdown game last night, but really hadn't been relevant since Week 12 in Arizona, where he really only caught 4 passes for 25 yards. He just scored twice, and then in no other game before last night did he catch 5 passes other than Week 1 against the Chiefs. It does boggle my mind because it's not as if Rivers hasn't been throwing the ball a lot.
Yeah. Scotty, and the thing, like, they're throwing him the ball in the red zone, right? Like, I like wide receivers, Scott, that, you know, are targeted in the red zone, are schemed in the red zone. Like, in the red zone, they look for players, not plays. And you even heard it, Philip Rivers in the post game being like, we were going to go up to Mike there, you know? So I think this bodes well for the future of Mike Williams, maybe justifying the number 7 overall pick. And by the way, it's not like there aren't other great wide receivers from Clemson University in this league right now.
Yeah, as long as Allen is there, you know, he's the wide receiver one, you know, but like Mike says, he's very injury prone, but, you know, you could be talking about, you know, one of the best wide receiver duos in the AFC next year.
No doubt.
Yeah. All right, well, Scotty, listen, I know you got some matchups. You got to play my man JR, Jimbo Slice, in our GST league. It could have been me, but it wasn't. So good luck to you and all of your teams this week. Scotty, what's yours?
He started Mike Williams.
He did? Wow. Interesting. Yeah. He started Austin Eckler against me, so he lost Austin Eckler, and he lost, I think, Manny Sanders recently. But the fact that he started Mike Williams, it doesn't matter, though, Scott. You say it all the time. It don't matter. I got screenshots of people that last week started Derrick Henry and wound up losing because they happened to be facing, you know, George Kittle and Amari Cooper, for example.
I had Tyreek Hill. He had Mike Williams. You think those big numbers would have been flip-flop, but, you know, we still got both a lot of players to go, so... It's far from decided.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Scotty, you have a great fantasy weekend. We'll be back on the other side on Monday to break it all down. Mike, hopefully you're still alive to win your league and win that cash. This is Roto Experts in the Morning.
So at least one of them, I think, will be alive.
We shall see. I certainly hope so. This has been Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. When you come back after the break, Blewett and I hold you down on Fantasy Sports Today.
Does your fantasy team suck? Maybe you need us, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the only free 24/7 fantasy sports radio network.